we welcome into the program from the Versant Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine, he's the lovely and talented Sean Latch. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Wonderful. Nice to have you with us.
Good to be back. Yeah.
Happy spring.
Yes, it's finally spring and it's starting to feel like it, like you said, until tomorrow, but we'll take what we get, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, getting ready to roll into the brand new month of April and a lot of things going on, but I want to make note, especially for people who have not had a chance to see it yet, this is the last opportunity this weekend to see the play Silent Sky.
Yeah, we're working with True North Theater and we have a few showings left Thursday night at 7 p.m., Saturday at 2 o'clock and at 7 o'clock. After the 2 o'clock show, there'll be a talk back with the actors. And after the 7 o'clock on Saturday night, if the weather cooperates, we'll also be opening up the observatory and giving folks a chance to take a look through some of the telescopes. And then Sunday at 4 is the final performance. So if you haven't had a chance to check this out, do come join us. It's a really fabulous play about the life of Henrietta Leavitt, who was a computer at Harvard back in the late 1880s and really figured out a little bit about Cepheid variable stars and how we're able to use them to measure the distances to things in our universe, and about the struggles of her life and, of course, women at the time, who weren't really given credit for all the major discoveries they made. So it's a really great play, a lot of fun. There's a little bit of a love story involved. So it's a fun, definitely a fun play, and really a shout out to Angela Bonacasa and the whole team at True North. The actors have been so much fun, and we've had a great time doing this in the Dome and using the Dome as a digital set. And I think they've really enjoyed having that different sort of, visual sort of piece to the play, if you will, by using the Dome and the digital displays there.
I love it. What a great idea. That's fantastic. So if you get a chance, check it out this weekend. And then we roll into the month of April with lots of fun things coming up, including a brand new Friday night show, We Are Guardians.
Yeah, so this takes a look at satellites. Of course, you'll know that we have a huge number of satellites that have been launched in recent days. This one taking a look at Earth observational satellites and how we're using them to monitor our environment, also to, help protect us from things like damaging storms and hurricanes and that. So it really takes a look at how satellites work, some of the latest advances with them. We'll also talk about some of the drawbacks to satellites too, because of course, there have been so many launched in recent days and some of them are starting to actually pose a little bit of a problem for astronomers. But in general, most of the time, satellites are a really good thing. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. Then we have a new kids show on Sunday, Magic Globe, Story of the Seasons, which looks at, of course, you join me and her grandfather and have a chance to learn all about the importance of seasons and the changing, just like since we're going into spring now and weather warming up. But of course, each season has its important piece for, of course, life here on planet Earth. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And then a music show, The Beatles. Now, of course, The Beatles will not start this weekend because, again, we do have the play at 4 o'clock on Sunday, but it will start the 9th. And if you like the Fab Four, it's a great chance to hear their music, be surrounded in some really fun visuals and like. So join us and, feel like you're in a yellow submarine or something else.
also coming up, April means spring vacation for students around the state of Maine, and you've got some great spring break programs scheduled.
Yeah, we have new different programs every day. Of course, Magic Treehouse and Forward to the Moon. Let's see here, trying to go from memory. Yes, Secrets of Gravity, Stargazers of Africa, and then Earth, Moon, and Sun. So 2 o'clock each day during the K-12 break, the 17th through the 21st there. And I do encourage people, book your tickets early. We've been selling out a lot lately. And always remember to arrive at the planetarium early too, at least 10 to 15 minutes before the show starts so that you can collect your tickets and be checked in and all that sort of stuff.
Excellent. Sean Latch with us from Versant Power Astronomy Center. Wanted to talk about a few space things here. First of all, the news, good news for her and her family, that Jessica Meir is getting ready to have her first child. But what does that mean for her possibilities of being the first woman on the moon?
Yeah, so that may be a little bit challenging depending on the timeline there. Again, NASA had planned to send Artemis 2, which will be uncrewed, but to orbit the moon in sort of October of next year, roughly, up of 24. And then the plan was sometime in 2025 to do the first landing on the moon, probably late 25. So it sort of depends. It might help her with that chance of being, on the first mission that lands, depending on, you know, how things go and you know, exactly when she's expecting and timeline for recovery. You know, but NASA's, you know, of course, whenever they send someone to space, they want to make sure that they are really, you know, fully healthy and, you know, can do all the things that they need to do and that they've been trained for. So we'll have to wait and see if that has any effect there.
What will we look forward to seeing up in the skies in the month of April?
Well, right now we do have some planets. Last night there was, you know, this big hubbub about five planets visible to the unaided eye, but really it was a bit of hubbub because Uranus technically is really more of a you know, a binocular object. Only in the absolute perfect conditions can you see it with your unaided eye. But we do have some good planets. Right now we have Venus in the evening sky, Saturn and Venus and excuse me, Mars in the evening sky. Saturn and Mercury in our morning sky, and Jupiter is going to be joining them in April in the morning sky again as it's sort of, you know, towards the end of the month. It's sinking into sunset right now, and we're going to be losing that into the glare of sunset. And, of course, we will have towards the end of the month, we'll also have the Eta Aquarii meteor shower, 18 to 20 meteors or so per hour during that.
Wow.
And so that's a reasonable shower. Lyrids. Eta Aquarii is getting ahead of myself. So the Lyrid meteor shower, end of April. And again, but it's still around 18 to 20 meteors an hour, so something to check out there. Recently, there's been a bunch of solar activity. In fact, I saw there was another X-class flare today. And there have been some auroras visible occasionally. Unfortunately, last several times we've had it here in Maine, the weather has not cooperated. But I would say keep your eye out for aurora as well. Right now, the sun seems to be going into a lot of activity, so there's a chance that we might get some of that.
Nice. And I see a number of galaxies are in a position where they can be observed. Can you do that with binoculars, or do you really need a telescope?
Typically more telescopes. Sort of when you start to get into March and April, we start to really get into a number of what we would consider to be the prime season for Messier objects. Charles Messier, an astronomer who kind of cataloged the best deep sky objects, galaxies, nebulas, star clusters, things like that. And you have a whole variety of galaxies sort of in Leo and Virgo. So those are going to be starting to become more prominent. But again, most of them, a few are visible in binoculars. A lot do require at least a small telescope, maybe 3 or 4 inches in diameter.
Okay. I want to talk, too, about something that's coming up next year, but planning has already begun for this, and you've got quite an adventure coming up yourself with a full solar eclipse next year.
Yeah, there's a total solar eclipse in Maine, April 8th of 2024. It's going to take place around 3:30 in the afternoon here in Maine. You do want to get out of Bangor and Orono. Do not stay here because you'll only get around 98 or 99%. And there's a total difference between that and totality where you can see the corona of the sun. So you'll want to travel to Patton, Jackman, Holton, you know, basically west of here a bit to get to that path of totality. This is the first time we've had totality in the state since July 20th of 1963. You missed the one on April 8th, 2024. You've got to wait till 2079. I'm not expecting to be around for that one myself either. So try to see this one if at all possible. I mean, eclipses do happen roughly, you know, total solar eclipses. We do get them. You know, roughly once a year, but you have to be in different parts of the world to see them. And so with this one in 2024, recently I was recruited to be the Northeast Regional Coordinator for the CATE project, which is the Continental American Telescopic Eclipse. It's a citizen science project to measure the polarity of the corona during the eclipse. And so as part of this, it's a project funded by NASA and NSF. They're sending me and a graduate student to the upcoming solar eclipse on April 20th, which happens to be taking place in Exmouth, Australia. We're going to be spending a lot of time on a plane to get there, but we'll have about roughly 4 days on the ground to set up equipment, observe the eclipse, and then, you know, pack up and head back, if you will. But really exciting. We'll be doing some training for this because the plan is during 2024 is to set up telescopes all along the path of totality. And I'll be working with a variety of groups here in the Northeast to get involved in that, to help coordinate them and get them setting up telescopes along the path. So, it's a really great chance to see totality once again, you know, and, I can just say that totality is one of the most spectacular things you'll ever see in all nature. You owe it to yourself. It should be on everyone's bucket list to see at least one total solar eclipse during their lifetime.
And when did you say the last one was?
In Maine, 63, July 20th of 63, Ellsworth, pass through that way, Bar Harbor area. So a long time ago. I mean, most of the time, the last total solar eclipse here in the continental United States was 2017, of course. We had partial here, but it was total out west. That was really nice. It is something relatively rare to get these, and you want to go and visit them, when you can. So
in 1963, it was a focus of our class. I'll never forget that in school.
Mm-hmm.
I was 12, and they told us, we got to see this. We have to be prepared for this.
I'm hoping that's the other thing. I'm going to say this. If you're in a school and the school says, we're going to keep the children inside that day, you need to pull your child out of that school. kids should be encouraged to see this. It is one of the most spectacular events in all nature. And again, not everyone can travel to these things. So you should do it. Now, you want to observe it safely, and there are ways to do so. We're actually going to be the state supplier for solar eclipse glasses at the planetarium. We already have 5,000 in stock. More will be coming, and make them available. They're going to be $2 a pair. Very safe way. You can also do pinhole projection, where you're projecting an image of the sun. And we'll be doing some workshops, starting off. Actually, we'll probably be doing one and kicking off some things later this fall, because there's going to be a partial in October of this year. We'll get only around 10 or 15%. It's going to be an annular eclipse out west, but here we'll get a partial. So we're going to sort of kick off things this fall with some of that and helping get people ready for the big one in 2024. But hopefully it will be clear. April can be a challenging time of year for viewing, but definitely encouraging people to get out and try and see this thing. And we'll be doing lots of special events at the planetarium to get ready, and also working with the main math and science teachers to work on some trainings for teachers and classes and schools too, to get them ready as well.
That's very exciting. Well, have a wonderful trip to Australia.
Thanks. It's not a glamorous trip. It's going to be a lot of time on a plane.
What is it, about 20 hours?
Yeah, we start flying on, I think it's the 13th. And by the time we get to the eclipse site, it's going to be the 16th, because you cross the date line plus, and then we fly from Los Angeles to Melbourne. Then you have to fly from Melbourne to Perth, which is basically like going from New York to LA. Then from Perth to Exmouth, which is about a 4-hour flight north of there. So it's a lot of time on a plane. Like I said, we're going to be gone, I think, 11 or 12 days, and 4 of them are going to be on the ground in Australia. So a lot of time in the air, but again, it's going to be really nice, and it's going to be incredible to have a chance to see totality. And the weather there is really good. Of course, it's going to be in the 90s and 100s when we're there. So a very hot, toasty area, and a desert area. So really good chances of it being clear.
Well, I look forward to hearing all about it when you get back. Travel safely.
Thank you.
Sean Latch, Versant Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine.